The writer in the book of Ephesians tells us that we are seated in the heavenly realm with Christ. Have you ever wondered what that means? And what's that supposed to look like in our life? Well, we're going to talk about just that today, but I'll give you a little secret. I think this really has to do with walking in a very intimate, close relationship with Christ. So close that he's just right there with us every day, like our best friend, guiding us, talking with us. We share with him. And it's not so much about, please God, do this, help me do that. It's about worship. It's about prayer. It's about intimacy. I remember years ago when I was trying to develop this intimacy with the Lord, I would just have these most powerful encounters with him where I would find myself with him for hours and I would never ask for anything. I just loved him and worshiped him. And amazing things were happening in my life. We're going to talk about that today on the Sandra Hartstone Show. We have the thrill of having Mike Endicott with us today. Mike is the founder of the Order of Jacob's Well in the UK. Mike is a man who understands intimacy with Christ on a very deep level. And he has got a mission to show other people how they can have an intimate relationship with Christ as well. So let's bring on Mike Endicott. Well, Mike, thanks again for coming back on to talk some more about some prayer. Are you doing okay?
Yes, a joy.
Great. I'm going to jump right into it, Mike, because I wanted to talk about this verse in Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7. And let me just start out by reading it. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, Mike, I looked up that Greek word, it's eporaneos or something like that, and it says it means the sphere of spiritual activity. Okay, yep. Well, I can get my head around that. But what I see in you, Mike, is you are constantly moving in and out of the spiritual realm. And this is a verse that's kind of confusing to a lot of people, so I was hoping you could give us your experience and wisdom on that.
Yeah. Shall I have a go?
Yes.
The normal life that I used to lead as a Christian, so I suspect most people do, honestly, is that we go through life, housing, jobs, cars, grandchildren, jobs, food on the table, all these sort of world things that we all get involved in until something goes wrong, we need God. At that point, we get into prayer, and the normal way to do it is say, please, God, come down from your cloud and help us do this and do that. And we are often left with disappointment because God does often seem pretty reluctant to come down off his cloud and help us out. There are all sorts of reasons why we would believe that still today, but I find that a much, much more rewarding life is to be had through actually spending time developing a friendship with God. I mean, specifically with Jesus, I suppose, because that's easier to imagine a walking, talking man. Jesus offers, you see, to be friends with us, Sandra, doesn't he?
Yes.
You know? Stop calling me teacher. I want to be a friend. This is the friend who created the universe, actually the cosmos, but never mind. It's a mighty, royal, powerful friend to have. So the great thing really I found is to develop friendship with him, or rather allow him to develop the friendship he wants with us, and then walking about praying the miraculous world happens around us because that's the kingdom of God. So a strive for the friendship rather than strive for the miracles, because the miracles follow the friendship. Yeah. So you're quite right in what you say. It's all about developing a relationship with the Lord, and it's a complete reversal actually of prayer, because at the moment I think pretty well the whole of Christianity, as far as I know it, or rather the Christian religion, tends to say, please God, will you do this? Please God, will you do that? In fact, we're not that polite. We often leave the word please out of here altogether. Whereas, if you look at Psalm, I've got my mind going now. Psalm 50, verse 23, I think that's the last one. It says something like, thank offerings, honor God, and prepare the way for me to show you salvation. But that's Old Testament salvation. It's not, oh, you know, I'm going to go to heaven when I die sort of salvation. This is the Old Testament people talking about it. So this is, what, Bronze Age, isn't it?
Yes.
Long time before Jesus. And they're actually referring to the children of Israel being rescued, the Hebrews being rescued from Egypt, from the rule of the Pharaohs, slavery, effectively. And so one understands salvation for people being God rescuing us from places where he doesn't want us to be. It's a lot more in this life than actually waiting to die and hoping you're going to finish up in heaven with Jesus. It's rescuing us in this life from places he doesn't want us to be. But the Psalm's very clear about it. In fact, if you pick up the word thanksgiving and then go through the New Testament as well all the time, you'll find that, you know, when Paul's saying pray constantly for the saints, the word with thanksgiving always appears at the end. We tend to forget that. So what I do is find that people's relationship, their friendship, develops enormously in the spiritual realms. Not by looking at everything and saying thank you all for this or thank you all for that, but actually thanking for what God has done, not what you think he's likely to do. So I wouldn't want anybody to think that if I need to heal a wart on the end of my nose, I say thank you God for healing it, and he'll go and do it. This is not a way of getting God to do stuff for me. Prayer is so misunderstood. I mean, after 2,000 years of training by the church, we've got ourselves, that sounded cynical, didn't it? We've got ourselves into a place where prayer is all about, how do I get God to do stuff? And actually, that's not right. Prayer is all about, not about us communicating with God. Prayer is about allowing God to communicate with us. And that's, when that happens, and we spend time just sitting in the presence of God, allowing him to communicate with us, that's when we start to live in the spiritual realms. And that's when stuff occurs and breaks out. But it's a major step change for an awful lot of people. I can't encourage people enough, really.
Yeah. You know, I was, after listening to what you've had to say, it reminded me probably 25 years ago when I first heard about having intimacy with Christ, which was blowing my mind then. I started spending so much time just communing with God, just sitting with him. And Mike, the funniest thing happened. For about a year, I felt like I couldn't even let myself ask God for anything. All I did for a year was worship and pray. And did you know, I thought there was something wrong with my prayer life because I couldn't say, please do this, help that, make this, do whatever. And that's all I did. And so, you know, it took many years before I looked back and went, oh, I think he was trying to teach me how to pray.
Yes.
And of course I did that. And then after about a year, I started doing the please help, can you do this and all that. And man, I got messed up. I wished I'd understood this 20 years ago.
Only in fact, yesterday we were talking with a lady, a senior citizen who wanted to sell up her house and live in a retirement block of apartments, of which there are a number to choose from. Now, she spends her life in the spiritual realm, so she would sit there for an hour quite happily every day, just being with God, not doing anything. And eventually she would say, Lord, I want to move. Please, will you show me which apartments, you know, which high-rise block I should sign up with. So I then went off looking, and God never showed me. She said, well, what happened was I went to one, I went to the second one, I went to the third one. I just felt uncomfortable in each one. I kept thinking, come on, God, show me. What do you want? And eventually, after about a year, I actually came to one, and it was full of Christian people, and there was Christian staff, lovely, and I've signed up immediately. So she said, it took 5 years for God to show me. I said, no, he didn't. Because every time you looked at one, he was saying, no, no, inside.
Exactly.
So she was actually living spiritually, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Without even realizing it. And that all comes from just having the time to sit and give time in the presence of God. Yeah.
Well, you know, I look at it like this, and tell me if my thinking is wrong. But if your best friend calls you and asks you for something, you say, yes, of course, and you're all over it. If someone you don't really know asks you for a favor, you have to pontificate on it. You've got to think about if it works out, right? And right. So to me, our relationship with Christ is the same way. Sometimes people will say, oh, they have a direct line to heaven. To me, it's just someone who's so intimate with him.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that you really talk a lot about is how to pray for healing, which we've talked about before. Now, I have three friends right now that have cancer that I'm praying and want to see them get healed. And so the question is, how do you pray to help someone's faith rise to intersect with this grace that you're talking about? This?
Well, you have to... Let's come back to the beginning, Sandra, and say what's happened is that Jesus was sent into the world by the Father in order to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, actually is proof that the kingdom is real and it does in fact exist. Now then what's happened is that towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus said to the Father, sort of, you know, as you've sent me, so I am sending them. So he wants us to go do the same thing. But while he was here, he was training people to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and heal the sick. And now when he gets ready to go back to heaven and he says, Father, I'm sending them the same way you sent me. In other words, he's sending us to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Yeah.
Yes.
99% of what Christians do isn't that. We're nice to people and we're charming to people. And if we have two coats, we take one off and give it to a poor person. We do all the right things. But we don't do continuing the ministry of Jesus. Now, that's where it begins to click in if you do that. If you proclaim the kingdom of God, what happens is that your trust goes up and mine goes up. It always has that effect. So what we do is we do it, as I say, with thanksgiving, not with pleasing, for facts, not for theological ideas, but for facts. So, I mean, you can go on developing this for hours, actually, but the short fact that Jesus never refused to heal anybody and Jesus is alive today and God doesn't change.
Right.
I mean, that is so outside the Christian experience, and yet it's the real Christ. It's really helpful because an awful lot of us today have built our image of God out of our experience of God. So if we've prayed and failed and prayed and nothing's happened and we've prayed and nothing's happened, we have, whether we like it or not, an unreliable God. But you see, Jesus in the scriptures was totally reliable. Totally consistent. Jesus, he never turned anybody away. He didn't say, Sandra, you're not a good enough Christian, or you don't go to church enough, or, you know, you should never have done that with that bloke 16 years ago. You know what I mean? Nothing like that at all. Jesus just says, yes. You know, I often smile at the thought that I wonder if Jesus went down a line of lepers asking for their baptism certificates before he could heal them. You know, it's crazy. He just said yes, you know.
Well, let's take
I don't have to prove that to you. All I would say is read the scriptures. I mean, the gospel show you a Jesus who never ever refused, and he's alive today. He's the same today as he was yesterday. So we just thank God for that. I thank God for the fact that he demonstrated how God feels about me. It's the answer is yes. Then I usually say thank you, Sandra, for the cross, a lot for the cross. because if for no other clever theological reasons than on the cross, God has got out of the way anything that come between me and him. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't listen to a lot of well-known, famous international speakers who say, oh, you've got to forgive everybody before God can heal you. That's not my experience. And it isn't Jesus either. Jesus never asked anybody to forgive before he healed them. Never did.
Wow.
So I don't, I mean, the cross, the work of the cross, absolutely complete, finished completely. That's it. There's nothing to stop it. So I always thank God for that. The other thing I thank God for is because if you remember when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple split from top to bottom, which means it hangs open. You know what I mean? If you ripped some drapes up from the bottom to the top and walk away, they go close again, don't they?
Yes.
You rip them from the top, they hang open. So even if you now go off to work your dishwasher or whatever, the curtain still hangs. That means there's an open heaven over the whole world now.
Oh, wow. I never seen it that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I say really thank you. I mean, the what else do I love is that the picture of the Garden of Eden painted in Genesis, the creation story, that's not an argument that people want to have about is it scientifically true or not and all this sort of stuff. That's not the argument. The argument is that is a blueprint of what God wants the world to be like. I mean, he sat and looked at it and he said, this is very good. And whoever comes to you for prayer, for whatever you like, I tell you something, what they've got is not in the Garden of Eden picture. So, you know, if you jump to the end of the Bible, there is Jesus coming back at the end of time. And it says in my Bible, no more sickness and no more tears, which just about sums it up. I mean, the Garden of Eden life for us is completely restored at the end. And we got Jesus in the middle coming and saying, this is what God's like. Mm-hmm. Yes, what do you want? Yes, what's the problem? Yes, yes, yes. And then dying on the cross to open the gate completely for us. So you see what I mean? Lying around in his presence all day, every day, just means that grace flows. It's fab.
Wow. Okay, so let's take something very basic, like every week in church, in zillions of churches, you're going to hear a prayer, please be with us.
Yeah.
All the time.
I don't know why.
And I don't really understand. I don't think people have really thought through that.
No.
You know, so how do you, what are your thoughts on that?
I giggle. No, I'm very sad, actually, because I think, where on earth do they think he's gone? You know, why do we Christians insist on telling God what's wrong with the world? As if he lives on another planet somewhere, you know? I'm very sad about it. But actually, in allowing your relationship with Jesus to develop, just the way I've said, through thanksgiving, through leading a life of thanksgiving, not for what he's going to do, but for what he has already done, historical facts, then what happens is you and he walk together. You're friends. You walk up the street together. You go shopping together. You make the bed together. You do the cooking together. And so you think more and more like he does, and he thinks more and more like you do. So you tend to operate more and more in this word harmony that you used at the beginning of this, you know, more and more with the single mind.
The way most people pray, probably we do, is, Lord, help me to understand this or do that or do whatever. Like if I'm trying to make a major decision, okay, I'm trying to make a major decision about something. You're telling me that you never say, please help. So how do you pray over a major decision in life?
I just do the same thing. No, I don't. Because you see, the act of thanksgiving is not something I do when I want God to do something. It's something that's part of my normal, everyday worship life. It's just part of our relationship. You walk up the street, you meet an old friend. What do? You say, hello, lovely to see you, don't you? You shake hands or you throw their arms around them or something, don't you? You greet, yes? That's my greeting to God every day, is thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you. Not for gifts you've given me, but thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus, you know, never said no. He never told anybody to wait. Jesus was fabulous, you know what I mean? And he's got out of the way anything and that could come between us. That's part of my hello, Lord, how are you routine, if you like, every day. Now then, if I have to make a major decision, like, for example, I'm a teenager and I want to know what university to go to, yeah?
Yeah.
That's not a major decision. Then I would say, I don't know what to do about this, Lord. Could you show me, please? And then I just go off and walk through life with him. And you get, you know, you look at one university and you get a feeling about it and it's, no, it's not. And you go and look at another one on an open day with your mum, you know, and you think, oh, I don't know. I don't know about the accommodation's not right. I like the facilities in that one a lot better. Let's go. Do you know what I mean? Well, what we Christians never do is credit God with any of those thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As you grow closer and closer to him in relationship, and he grows closer and closer to you in relationship, I'm talking about, and you get to know each other better, you start to think more like each other, don't you?
Yes.
You do in a long and successful marriage. What happens is that people begin to think more like each other all the time.
Yes.
And it's exactly the same. So like that lady was looking for an apartment block to retire into and turned her nose up at, for 5 years at different ones that have come on the market without crediting God for the turning up of the nose. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
But so that's how you make those huge decisions. Yeah. Although somebody did say to me their son, I think, had been praying about getting married, and he found this fabulous girl, and he went up to her, apparently, and said, the Lord says, I got to marry you. And she said, absolutely great. When he tells me the same thing, we'll do it. I thought it was brilliant.
So, okay, in Scripture, Jesus would say to somebody, if they wanted to be healed, he would say, pick up your mat and walk, or, you know, just you're healed. And I guess the disciples did too, but we're supposed to do what Jesus did. So what is the thing? How come we don't just walk up to people and say, be healed?
Okay, God is not a photocopying machine. We cannot just say, oh, he said be healed, therefore I can go to people and say be healed. That is so childish. It's dreadful. Yeah?
Wow.
It is dependent on relationships. So when you get Peter and John, wasn't it, on the steps of the temple, the guy
yes.
begging there was, and he said, I want some money, please. And he says, what did he say? Silver and gold have I none,
right.
But what I have got, you can have.
Right.
What he had got, of course, was a relationship, developed a friendship, walking friendship with Jesus. And in the street, walking friendship with Jesus. That's mm-hmm. what he had. Yeah. But not because of Pentecost and flash, bang, wallop, there it is, you got it. That came after walking with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, full time in the presence of God.
Okay.
That's amazing, isn't it? But what he had was this walking in oneness of relationship with God. Yeah?
Yeah, so I think...
This happened a lot in my ministry. I was a story I love to tell was I was teaching in Westminster Hall in London, which is a huge, great, used to be the headquarters of the United Nations, I think, or NATO when they, no, anyway, one of those big organizations. And with seats all ranked up back into the heavenlies in front of you, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I was praying with some and talking about Jesus and praying with somebody right down the front. And suddenly there was a scream from the back. I mean, 1,000 people back, and there was a scream, like that. And I panicked because I thought, oh gosh, you know, I can't do remote deliverance ministry. Do you know what I mean? I thought, what do I do? So I just ignored it. We died down, and now afterwards, on the bookstore, when we were there doing all the business, And this lady came up. She said, I apologize for that, because what I had was, I don't know what you would call them in your, but we would call them a trigger finger, like that.
Yeah.
If you're a baby and you're born like that, nowadays they just go snip, snip, and it's problem solved. But this lady that hadn't been done, she was middle-aged, and she'd had that like that all her life. And she was sitting, listening to me talking about Jesus and my friendship with Jesus. And the Lord said to her, hold your hand up. So she held her hand up, and the finger just went like that.
Wow.
And the yelling was actually her girlfriends, who had gone with her for the day, yelling with excitement.
Oh, wow.
Now, you see what I'm saying? I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything to her. I didn't even know she was there. But when you walk with Jesus, that's what happens. Those sorts of things will happen around you.
Okay.
Right now, it's a very, very exciting life.
Well, I agree. So let's talk about, there's a lot of people we see that they'll be up preaching or ministering to people, and God will give them words of knowledge. God will tell them, hey, that person sitting in the front row in the blue shirt has, arthritis. And then he will say, God wants to heal you. And then they get healed. Line that up with all the ways you're talking about praying.
I used to do that.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. I used to be quite good at that. Oh. In fact, before I used to hold healing services in the old, I'm talking 25 years ago now, we would gather the team in the back office and say, right, anybody got words of knowledge we need tonight? Oh, yes, there's a woman with a swollen ankle. There's, a lady with digestion problems,
right.
Which normally speaking were very common sort of things that we all have anyway.
Yeah.
But then, so I used to stand up at the front of the service and say, okay, special prayers today. The Lord is saying that he wants to heal this lady, that gentleman, for that reason, so on. I stopped doing it because of the number of people who came to me disappointed and sad. God obviously doesn't want to heal them because they've never had a word of knowledge about them in a service.
Oh.
Now, that's totally counterproductive because Jesus is not a favor of persons. Excuse me. He wants to do everybody.
Wow.
He feels exactly the same about me and you as anybody else in the street. I mean, we're all loved to bits. So I stopped doing that straight away. Now I realize I'm not condemning words of knowledge and things like that, but I do say to people, they're given to you to help you pray. Yeah?
Okay.
Don't exercise it in public. I'd rather people didn't. It very often, actually, in public, if you stand up in front of an audience and start having words, the result, unbeknown to you and unwanted by you probably, is that the audience start giving you glory for being a very spiritual person.
Ah.
Now, you might not want that at all, but you can't help it. That's human beings. But God does not like that. God does not anoint ministries where human beings get glory.
Right. So, Mike, let's talk about persistence. Like, someone is sick and you pray and they don't get healed, or they praying for themselves and they don't get healed. Let's talk about persistence, staying with it. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
So what about that? Somebody gets discouraged. They pray. Well, I've done all I can do. I've prayed for this person. I don't know what else to do.
That's right. Notice the number of times you said I in that sentence.
Yes.
It's not us that do it. It's Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I think the our job as Christians, I think, when we're faced with people like that, is to do what we can to make straight the way of the Lord. That's the biblical expression. Make straight the way of the Lord. You see, the problem is, I wonder if I've described this to you before, it's very much a question of only us oldies know this, but we used to have on motor vehicles, we used to have like telescopic car antenna, radio antennas
mm-hmm.
that we pulled up and pushed down. And I think that's a very good way of looking at this, because what happens is that people tend to go to work in the morning, thinking about prayer. You would kind of climb into your car, you'd switch on the engine to get the engine warmed up, you would call up the broadcasting company, tell them to get broadcasting now because you're ready to listen. And that's how people pray, and it's absolute nonsense, because of course the broadcasting company are going 24/7. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is to jack your car antenna up so that you can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now the problem we have here is that just as proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, which is in Thanksgiving, which is what we've been talking about, pushes car antenna up, so all our doubts and wonders and cynicism and all these things drag the aerials back down again. Now the difficulty is that's what we call doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the ancient Greek, the word doubt means an alternative way of thinking, really. But it's so we may say, well, Jesus never healed, never turned anybody away, and he's around today. So obviously God wants to heal me. But my father and my grandfather and his father all died of heart attacks at the age of 42. I'm 41. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But if I talk like that, I'm dragging the aerial down as hard as I can go.
Yes.
And I prayed for my sister last week, and she still gets headaches. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's all dragging it down. Now, the problem is I have to be left with a bit sticking up, as much as a mustard seed, in order to pick up the signals mm-hmm. coming out of heaven. So trust, take away doubt, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that, mathematically, must be something the size of a mustard seed or more.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you, there's only thing you can do, and Jesus teaches persistence. Do you remember, he was, trying to remember it now, he was healing a blind man, wasn't he? And he said, yes. How are you getting on? The guy says, well, I can see people, but actually they will look like
trees.
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. So Jesus had another go. That's not because Jesus is weak or anything like that. He's just demonstrating that inside us there are all sorts of things, and we have to keep hammering at them. Naaman the leper is another one, isn't it, in the Old Testament? I like to teach the Battle of Jericho, where they went round and round and round and round, didn't they, before the wall fell down.
Yeah.
It's just going on and on and on, because somewhere, I mean, you lean against Satan, he'll flee. I mean, you have to keep going at this all the time. If you've got time, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
But okay, you see, generally speaking, the background we're working out of, Sandra, is that the church has been teaching us for a couple of thousand years now that we're a load of nonsense, really. We're not, you know, we're sinners. Yes, we don't give enough money to the church. I mean, they're at us all the time about being pretty unworthy people. The great thing is the negative thing. I made good friends in the end. I got to pray with a farmer who had ALS. And he was completely paralyzed by it by the time I got to know him, although he could still speak, eat with difficulty. But he got to that sort of stage. I went and drank a cup of coffee with him pretty well every Thursday morning for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And after, and of course it was all positive, but I wasn't getting anywhere. He wasn't getting anywhere. And in the end, I said, I don't know what's stopping us, Andrew. I can't understand this at all. And Andrew said, I wonder if it's because the local pastor keeps coming in here and telling me that I got to get my family in order, you know, my accounts and everything, because I'm going to die and I got to get. I see he's focusing you on death, and I'm sitting in here wasting my time trying to focus you on life. He He says, yeah, I know. I've told him he's not coming in my house again. In other words, he was beginning to focus then on the positive side of God. Yes?
Yes.
Rather than on the negative side of the world. Now, from that point on, he started getting peculiar things. Whenever I prayed with him, he would get, his toes would twitch and his fingers would twitch quite involuntarily.
Yeah.
And if I stopped praying, it stopped twitching. Now, that gave me terrific courage.
Wow.
I thought, we got to keep going, Andrew. Come on. And it was him that used to welcome me into his house. His wife would bring me coffee. And Andrew would say to me, come on, Mike, let's go around Jericho again. and we did for 3 years, we did that. And in the end, he could move his hands like this.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And he was still talking nicely. And he could. It took a long time. Now, I don't know what's inside that guy. You can think, well, it must have been this and it must have been that. And maybe it was his religious upbringing with this group. Or I don't know. You can make up all sorts of, but it's all human thinking. Do you know what I mean? We don't know how human beings work. So what I just kept doing is kept worshiping with him in thanksgiving for creation, for Jesus. Yes? All the time. We kept going. And he was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But nobody believed us. The consultant used to come from the hospital once a year to visit him. So, I don't understand this, Andrew, you know.
Right.
And, then he got pneumonia, but they stuck a do not resuscitate sign on the bottom of his bed because they thought it'd be merciful to ALS to let him go. He got pneumonia and he died of it.
Wow.
And I was very cross.
Wow.
But you see, it's persistence. Now I was on a leading a retreat on an island, which I used to do quite a lot of. And a lady came who by then was one of my elders, actually. She's a retired medical doctor. And she appeared on the island 1 year with walking sticks. I said, what on earth happened to you? She said, we call it in the UK motor neuron, but it's ALS, yeah?
Mm.
She said that it's my feet and my ankles are getting all wobbly. She came on 2 walking sticks. So it's not just me. I mean, she said, I've diagnosed it for years. I know what it is. She said, I'm going to classes on dying with dignity, but I used to give those classes and now I'm going on them.
Oh, wow.
She went to a colleague of hers to get the it confirmed that that's in fact what the diagnosis, you know. He said, yes, you absolutely have. So she came on retreat and she said, well, this is the last time I should be able to do this, you know, the normal rate that ALS develops. So she was there on the island and we just soaked her in the presence of God. I don't mean any old how. I mean in glory, thanksgiving to Jesus. Jesus never said no. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. You know, oh, it never lasts for, you know, people are going to die and so on. Jesus never said no. Jesus always said yes. Jesus lifted people up, you know. What do you bet that guy at the gate that Peter and John stood up? I bet he was ALS. You don't know, do you? Mm. So we just went on and on for a whole week, just sitting her down every day. And at the end, she went off the island on the walking sticks. She went to the capital city, London, in the UK to see the generally accepted knowledge of all things in London, a consultant who specializes in ALS. And he gave her the once over from top to bottom and couldn't find a trace of the disease in her. And that was 10 years ago, and she's still as fit as a fiddle.
Wow.
Now, yeah, that's persistence, you see.
Well,
you must do it. And when I'm, yeah.
So, you know, one thing I want to say is like one thing that I know I'm a mother and a grandmother. A lot of people have children that they would say have kind of gone off the path or kind of in the wrong crowd right now or whatever, prodigal children. And if this works the same way in praying them back in, right, Mike? It's not, oh, Lord, my son or daughter is into drugs and doing all this. I mean, God just doesn't need to hear all that. He's interrupted me too many times when I'm talking about the negative. So the thing is, you just pray and you say, thank you, Jesus, that my child is walking in their destiny. Thank you, Jesus, that my child is walking hand in hand with you, right?
Can I make it even more positive than that?
Yes, please.
Being a girl, you have a significant advantage over us blokes.
Well, I've always thought so.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is in this context.
Okay.
Is that your grandchildren, I think I'm right in saying this, correct me if I'm wrong, I think your grandchildren were eggs in your womb.
Wow.
I think that's right. I think when your daughter is born, she has her...
Oh, that's right. I've never thought of it that way.
Right. So that gives you a spiritual oneness.
Oh, wow.
Which you wouldn't believe. Now, if you sit before the Lord and go on about, not her, but we need your direction. We need to walk in that. That's you and your grandchildren.
Wow. That almost makes me cry, Mike. I've never thought about that. I just had a granddaughter born like 2 or 3 days ago, and her the egg for her was in my daughter. Which, wow.
Yes, she was.
Wow. I don't.
You see the spiritual authority that gives you in the family? Because you're talking oneness with her, aren't you, in the heavenly realms?
Wow. Well, you know, I have a belief that everybody that does well has got a praying grandma somewhere. Wow.
Could be.
That is awesome. Wow.
So be encouraged, son. I mean, that's fun.
Wow.
We blokes can't do that because we don't have eggs, but it's great, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, as we know, the best way for people to learn is by experiencing doing. Yeah. So how about if we just all pray together for... of somebody that needs to be healed, whether it's yourself, the loved one, or whatever.
But I don't want to teach anybody a trick.
It's not.
So many Christians want to find a way of getting God to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to do that at all. I don't want anybody to learn from me how to get God to do stuff. If you want to learn anything from me, it's how to walk in the spiritual realms.
Yeah.
Which is where you started this conversation, bless you.
Yes.
So can I pray?
Please do.
Father, thank you and bless you all of us.
Thank you, Lord.
I see without an exception who clicked onto this program and are listening, because, you know, we're all far from being completely whole and healthy and enjoying life in your sight. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing us the heart of the Father by saying yes to everybody who came to you.
Mm.
I thank you, Father God, really, really right now, the aspect of all this that's touching my heart with wonder is that where your feet are, Father, in front of your throne of grace in heaven, is this lake of life. And that you know, one of the side effects of the cross is that when Jesus completed the sacrifice, when he gave up his spirit for us, is that sea broke its banks and flooded and turned into a river, a flooding river, a river in spate.
Mm-hmm.
And that river flows down the middle of the street in heaven underneath the tree with leaves for the healing of the nations. So those leaves are falling in the river. And that comes back through that torn curtain that we spoke of. And it floods into this world and all over anyone who would stand in front of that torn curtain and just let the waters wash them and wash over them. And it's the water of life. And where it touches salt water, where it touches brackish water, it just, everything that goes there lives. So bless you, Jesus.
Mm.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for prompting us in this conversation. bless you for grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Mike, before we jump off, you want to tell the folks about your new program you're starting, the Kingdom Program?
Oh, well, yeah, if you're interested, peoples. I mean, discovering all the sorts of things with ease and comfort that Sondra and I have been talking about this morning is a walk. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And so I'm wanting millions of Christians to have this adventure with me, so that they lead miraculous lives, right? Now, the object of the exercise at the end of all this is the greatest piece of evangelism I can think of, because we're sharing more and more with people the kingdom of God and its effect, and it's good news. Now then, if you're interested in joining that, it won't cost you anything. It's just working in, you know, together, looking at some short videos I made, very short, won't bore you. bits at a time, going along. If you're interested in that at all, jump, please, on my new website, our new website, and just have a look at a link on there which says the Kingdom Adventure, because that's what it is. It's not a course. It's not going to tax brains terribly or anything like that. The Kingdom Adventure. So please do just click on it, and the web address is www. They all start like that, don't they? Mm-hmm. And it's OJW. That stands for the Order of Jacob's Well, which is the name of my setup. OJW.org.uk. So that's www.OJW.org.uk. You jump on there, right? You're welcome, actually, free, gratis, and for nothing, to come and be alongside us as we walk anyway by becoming an alongsider of the order. That's great. Or if you want to do it even more than that, then click on the Kingdom Adventure and we will set you off.
Awesome.
In the road.
Great. Well, Mike, thanks so much for coming on again and sharing. And I've already signed up for Kingdom Adventure. I've already signed up.
Have you?
Yes, I have. Are you kidding me? This intimacy with Jesus is, it's radical, man. It is the only way to live.
It's the only way to live.
Only way to live. Yeah. Yes. So I can't wait for you to come back to the U.S. If you wait too long, I'll have to come to the U.K. to see you.
Well, there you go, sister.
Okay. Thanks so
much. Wonderful.
I hope you enjoyed that visit with Mike Endicott. Before we sign off, I do want to tell you about an extraordinary thing that happened to me years ago when I first heard about this intimacy with Christ. I went into my prayer closet and I was determined I was not going to ask God for anything. I was just going to tell him how much I loved him and I was just going to worship him and thank him. It wasn't about me at all. It was all my focus was on him. And I had the most glorious thing happen to me in my entire life. I knew I wasn't elevated off the floor, but I felt the power and presence of God so strongly. It was like his spirit and my spirit were communing. I almost felt like I was floating on the air and I was just frozen. I didn't want to do anything to make this feeling go away. And I do remember thinking, oh my gosh, if this is like what people have in near-death experiences when they go to heaven, no wonder they don't want to come back. It was the most incredible amount of, I would call it, liquid love I had ever experienced in my life. And once I had that encounter, I knew I could never backslide. I could never walk away from God again because it was so magnificent. And friends, we need to be living that way every day. This is the way our life needs to be. That is living in the supernatural realm while living on earth. It is. I'm telling you, I want to encourage you. I want to pursue an intimate relationship with Christ. When it becomes like this, you don't have to ask him for things. You just hang with him and these things happen. Things come into order and you know what to do. He really is closer than a brother. He really is as close as your breath. I hope you'll put some of this into practice and give it a try. Go after him, pursue him. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Sondra Heartstone Show. I hope you'll be back with us on our next podcast. See you later.